yesterday with Gail and Barb. And I went all back to talk to a couple of friends that were on break from Tony Mark, because I used to work with Gail and I met quite a few people there. When I was back there, one of my friends that worked in the bakery there that I met had gotten his brother to work there. His brother is an atheist. So I talked to his brother, and everybody else went back inside, and I sat there and I talked to his brother a little bit about God. You know, he sat there and he listened, and I told him a story of, I'm sure many of you have probably heard it, maybe it's not your own that you my address, but it's about a professor who was an atheist and taught theology for 15 years, and how he always, his entire course was downplaying God, that God was real. And at the end of each semester, he'd take a piece of chalk and say, and ask everybody to believe in God during the semester. Well, everybody would, professor would say, if somebody would raise their hand or stand up and say yes, he would call them fools and say that God was real. He could take this piece of chalk and drop it, and when it hit the tile floor, it would not break. And everybody wants to drop a piece of chalk on the tile floor, it's going to break into little pieces. But when you're a Christian, and Christians accept you year by year, you know that, confessing to their faith really. But when Christian, when you did stand up, and the professor said, called him a fool, and said that if God was real, if he stopped this piece of chalk, it would form breaking. Just as he dropped it, it slipped out of his fingers, hit his shirt, rolled down the seam of his pants, and hit the cuff of his pants and rolled away on the floor.
Amen.
And I told this kid this story, and I'm like, I don't know where this professor is, but I bet you $10 million if another student was in his class and stood up again, same exactly what happened. You know, he's like, the kid said he doubted it. He's like, I doubt what happened. I'm like, if I had $10 million, if I knew where it was, I'd go on and prove him wrong. But you know, it was just a chance for me to witness. So that's pretty cool.
Else. Della does. I know Della has a testimony.
I do. Thank the Lord. I just praise the Lord because He saved my life. I was on my way to work on Friday on the freeway, Friday afternoon. The freeway was really busy. There was lots of traffic. And there was two cars ahead of me and a semi behind me, and we were in the passing lane. And I was right alongside the semi on the right-hand side of me, and all of a sudden I saw this left direction light go on. And I thought, well, he means after we goodbye. Then I saw that big front wheel coming across the lot. He didn't mean after we went by. And I think he didn't see me, or he wouldn't have been doing that. And he's coming right out, and I just said, Lord, help me. And I'm going 65, 70 miles an hour down the freeway. And I'm on the gravel, and I'm in the grass. Even hanging on as much road as I could hang on to and still give him that lane. And I'm out there bouncing all over the place, hanging on and praying. And he kept going. And as soon as he got up enough that I could get back in my lane, there was a bridge coming up. So there'd been no place for me to be out there if we'd been just a few feet farther ahead by that bridge. And the semi behind me was backing way off. I saw him in my rearview mirror. He's backing way off because he didn't want to be any part of what he thought was going to happen ahead of him. And my sons drive semis, and they said, I bet he got on the speaker talking to that truck next to me saying, you know what you almost did there. But I thank God because I know what the trucker almost did, but I know what God did. He saved my life. And I got to work at the restaurant, and I was just shaking, thanking God. But it gave me an opportunity to talk to my coworkers, and, you know, nothing happens for no reason. And I got there, and I just couldn't help but think. I was just bubbling with how thankful I was and how God had saved me. And one employee says, did you cuss him out? And I said, no, I prayed to God. And got a chance to tell him how God had protected me. And I got an opportunity to teach a little Sunday school class this morning, and we talked about that. When we talked about, are you ever afraid? And boy, that went right up in my mind. You bet I was afraid not long ago. And how we can ask God. We don't always have time to get on our knees, I told him once. We don't always have time to shut our eyes. But we can say, Lord, help us. Help me. And He's there to do it because we are His child. He's as quick to help us as we would be to help our child even quicker. And I just thank God.
He
saved my life, and I'm here today.
Amen. Praise the Lord for His protection. He was oppressed,
And he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Okay, the men sing the declaration, and the women know not why.
Not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not memory was on Elisha giving word from God of where the enemy's camp was. And then he went and told, and sure enough, that was there. And that king and the enemy was very upset, and so then he came and surrounded Elisha and his servant's home. And Elisha's servant was so upset and so concerned and so worried, just sort of like our Sunday school lesson this morning about concerns and worries. And Elisha, he went back and told Elisha, and Elisha didn't pray for all, you know, that something would happen, because his eyes were open, and he prayed that the servant's eyes would be open. And of course, when the servant went out and looked again, there he seen God's army, many, many, many more hosts than what the enemy was. And I just am thankful to be teaching the young kids. They seem to really enjoy the Bible stories and are so attentive. And they're when I've been asking for prayer requests, many, many hands go up with prayers for grandparents and for illnesses that they don't come back, and many other things. And I'm thankful that their hearts are being fed the Word of God, and that that they seem to be taking that in. I praise the Lord for that.
Thank you.
that's your prayer.
Sermon this morning, God's word is true. It's so good to, you know, to hear that said and to be in a church where we don't make any apology for that. That's our foundation. And I just appreciate that so much that we all need to hear that and never get away from that. It was especially significant for Sandy and I because a Christian couple that we're very close with attends a congregation, a denomination where the clergy was just in the last month given the privilege or whatever you want to say to marry homosexual couples if they would. And Sandy and I were talking about on the way to church this morning, how do you know when to leave? And I just felt like that question was answered by your sermon, that way back when that particular denomination that these friends of ours attend the church of, I guess it's not our place to tell them when to leave. They have to be led by God. But it just seemed like, as he preached this morning, that God was saying to me, that's where that denomination went wrong way back 40 years ago when they said the Bible was mostly true but not quite. Mm-hmm. And then that's why they've come to the place where they are today. So I just praise God for this congregation and this pastor and this denomination that stands saying the Bible is true, every word you can count.
Amen. Harvest field not ripened, there's a work for all to do. Hark, the voice of God is calling to the harvest, calling you. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for what they're paid. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. Does the place you're called to labor seem so small and little known? It is great if God is in it, and He'll not forget His own. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown that you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. When the conflict here is ended and the race on earth is run, He will say, if we are faithful, welcome home, my child, well done. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name.
Foundation, He saints of the Lord.
that's our source of joy, is looking forward to the likely fruit of our current labors, we can have joy right now. We can have joy in the midst of pain, in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of problems. We can still have joy. Nobody can take that joy from you, Jesus says. And so what do? Well, you can look back and you can count your blessings. You can also look forward to the fruit that's going to come out of this difficult situation or these unpleasant circumstances in your life. Look behind and look ahead. You know, the thing that pleases Jesus is our relationship with Him. It's not our grudging obedience that He wants, but He wants our hearts. Of course, if He has our hearts, we will want to obey Him. But that is really peripheral to what really delights Him. He takes pleasure in our longing for Him, just as a husband's greatest fulfillment is knowing his wife enjoys him and desires to please him. You'll never find joy in fulfilling the law. The law is good. Scripture is beneficial in revealing God's heart and instructing us. But if we try to be led by Scripture or set some kinds of objective guidelines or convictions, we end up in bondage. The convictions, the laws are good, but when we let them bind us, we lose our joy, to say nothing of the greater tragedy of neglecting our betrothed bridegroom for the old dead husband, the old man. You know, what I'm saying here is I've seen so many people trying to follow the letter of the law, the letter of God's word, that they lose their joy. I'm not saying that the law is bad. I'm not saying that conviction is bad. And the answer is not found in rejecting godly scriptural convictions. But the answer is learning to walk in the Spirit. Learning to walk and to be led in the Spirit. We are to be led by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. He is our guide. He does guide us into truth. But He guides us not just by filling us with information and instructing us, but by leading us. The Holy Spirit leads us. And we are to be led in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. We are to be led by the Spirit. Being led by the Spirit is greatly aided by the foundation of the instruction of the law. But if we don't move on to walking in the Spirit, the foundational instruction of the law becomes a hindering bondage to us. Despite its definite instructional benefits, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law, Paul said in Galatians 5:18. We don't live in the bondage of convictions. We don't live in the bondage of obedience. We obey because we love Him and we're being led by the Spirit. Jesus, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. And as Paul further wrote in 2 Corinthians 3:17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So with the scriptural foundation, how do we enter into joy in practice? No doubt there are numerous beneficial keys, but I will contend that the primary key is embracing surrender to whatever pleases Jesus. Everything that we could say, and we will say, can be summed up in total surrender to whatever pleases our Lord. Whatever pleases Him will bring you joy. Living it out in practice, whatever pleases Jesus will bring you to joy. And being led by the Spirit is the thing that accomplishes it. So if I could just rehearse these three things for you. How to find joy. Look back. Count your blessings. Look ahead to the future fruit. And presently be led by the Spirit. Doing those things that please Jesus. And that will bring joy to your heart. At another time, I'm going to go on and I'm going to look at a number of Psalms. in how we can actually do this. Because I have to ask the question today, what has happened to joy? Whatever has happened to joy? So many Christians are not joyful. So many Christians have discouragement, even depression. And yet Jesus said, your joy should remain. And your joy should be full. And nobody can take this joy from you. I believe there's a key in David's life that unwraps how we can walk in joy at all time. And so I'm going to be looking forward to sharing that with you at another time, because it's quite lengthy, and I'm not going to go into it with my mouth tonight. Sorry.
With me as he talks with me, and
must offer. Would you dismiss us in prayer, please?
Lord, just help us to remember our blessings that you've given us and to count our blessings, Lord, and to commit our lives to you. And Lord, we just ask you to be with us and bring us back safely again. We give you the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.